always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lowdown. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine. Is it fine? How you guys feeling? This is a safe space. How's everybody feeling today? Is it a fine day? It's a Monday. And it definitely feels like a Monday. It is a Monday that we are here in the lounge for, and we knew it was going to be a busy day because of the opt-in or out deadlines that teams and players had today. And it definitely lived up to the hype, as this morning it started with LeBron James and Anthony Davis apparently being something that the Golden State Warriors are working on. We then, a little bit later in the afternoon, basically minutes before I was going to go live, got word of the Ja Morant trade, where he is going from the Memphis Grizzlies to the Portland Trail Blazers, and he joins maybe the least sensible guard rotation in the league. So you have that going on. You have, quietly, you had Yusuf Nurkic, get a new contract from Utah that had us kind of wondering what's going on there. And then, unfortunately here for the Lakers, I am not hearing good things about Marcus Smart, who appears to be heading out the door to Houston, meaning that the Lakers will have to make up for even more talent that they could potentially be losing this summer. Rob Pelinka starting to get a little nervous. Can't lie. So a quick reminder, as always, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube. And then if you guys are listening to the show in the morning, or well, whenever you're listening to it via podcast, please subscribe to the show wherever it is that you get your podcast, and tell your friends about this thing too. It's been growing a lot lately and I really appreciate it. I would like for that to continue. That would be great. So yeah, let's start with the LeBron situation, which I'm sure everybody is probably most interested in. Shams Charania reported that Draymond Green was going to opt out of his player option that he had for this next season. And the reason that Draymond opted out of that contract was to help the Warriors be as flexible as they can possibly be as they attempt to make a big four. I guess Kevin O'Connor reported this the night before too, but the reporting is that the Warriors would be looking to acquire LeBron James, and in an effort to sweeten their offer to LeBron James, they would be willing to trade for Anthony Davis and go into next season with a big four of Steph, LeBron, AD, and Draymond Green. And not listed among those names, obviously, by Shams Charania was Jimmy Butler, whose contract, I would imagine, plus, you know, draft assets, would be going to Washington, so that, you know, and his contract lines up almost perfectly with Anthony Davis Davis's contract. And and if the Warriors want, I guess technically speaking, they can add another contract to that one, going out to Washington, so that they could maybe take back less money than they send out in the trade and avoid being a hard capped until they absolutely want to be hard capped. And in this scenario, the Warriors would be one of the oldest teams in the history of basketball. I've watched a team like that before. I've watched a team with LeBron and Carmelo and Dwight Howard and you know, the unction wasn't really that fun. Now, I think this one would have a higher ceiling than the one before, but I don't know. It would be fun to watch and all of that stuff if you believe that it is going to happen. The reason I'm a little skeptical about it happening, though, is because as I've been telling you guys, the noise that I've been hearing coming out of this, potentially extending relationship between the Lakers and LeBron James is that the two sides were going to eventually work out a deal in the range of 2 years, $50 million total. And that I heard earlier today is that, like, I don't think this is an outright bluff. Like, I don't think LeBron James is not at all interested in going to the Golden State Warriors, or he's not at all curious about playing with Steph Curry to end his career and all of that stuff. I do think that if the Lakers, if he feels disrespected by the Lakers, that he could follow through on this. The Warriors could pull off whatever trade they need to pull off, and LeBron can finish his career up in the Bay. I'm also aware of what I feel is a fact that the Lakers are cognizant of this not being a bluff. And I think it's a situation that they would take very seriously, but I also think it's a situation that they aren't like outright terrified by. Now, him going to the Bay in particular might, get some action out of the Lakers. And, you know, to that point, Chris Haynes reported that after, making it through basically this moratorium without much communication, that the Lakers and LeBron are finally going to start their talks together. Something that I did have, somebody kind of throw a little cold water on that theory or that reporting. But anyway, LeBron going to the Bay in particular apparently would be kind of a hot topic for like a sore spot for the Lakers, in that, they are one of the few NBA teams that are worth more than the Lakers, which, these billionaires tend to care about. They are in the Lakers division, and the Lakers would see him four times at least this next season. Not to mention preseason matchups. There's usually a Warriors-Lakers preseason matchup every year. Not to mention potential playoff matchups, not to mention in-season tournament matchups like that could possibly happen. And that is something that the Lakers are obviously very aware of too. And so they are taking this thing seriously. I just don't think it's the kind of thing that they are like, oh, fuck, we got to get this guy back now. So I think it's a situation that can be resolved between the Lakers and LeBron. The other thing that, is a factor here is that Bronny James, his son, is on the team. So if LeBron does leave, I'm sure that he would probably ask the Lakers to either let Bronny out of his contract or which is fairly easy to do because Bronny, I have to check, Bronny James guaranteed contract. So we didn't get word about Bronny's contract being guaranteed unless I missed it. But today is the guarantee date. So if he, the Lakers either have to pick up the guarantee today or not. And if they don't, that I think would be pretty telling that LeBron is not back. I'm looking it up, and yeah, it says that. This is one of the things that I've been looking for. Let me just send a text really quick. All right. So we'll see what that comes back with. But yeah, so that'll be a factor, obviously. And if LeBron asks for the Lakers to let Bronny out of his contract, they can bring him back or whatever. But they would likely, you know, that would probably signal the end of that relationship between the Lakers and the James family. And we'll see what comes of it. Yeah, I just asked Jovan and Pete too, and Jovan is saying he hasn't heard anything either. So we haven't, like, the Lakers have been absolutely silent, which I'll talk about over the course of the show too, usually means something is about to happen. And obviously something has to happen because the time of year that it is. But the Lakers have been, like, even by Lakers standards, extremely quiet. And that is one thing that Rob Pelinka has valued is keeping everything that the Lakers are getting ready to do very close to the vest, for the sake of, you know, gained advantage, not having everybody know what they're thinking about doing, beyond the obvious. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out here between LeBron and the Lakers. I still keep thinking that he's probably back, but this is probably the most doubt I have had this summer on that front. And we're going to talk in a second about Marcus Smart, but his likely departure, I think, signals a bit of a tell from the Lakers on what they are looking to do, right? They headed into the summer with two options. You can either operate as an above the cap team by bringing back a big chunk of last year's roster, or you can say goodbye to a whole bunch of people and operate using cap space and then hope that you have a good enough relationship with those players that if you really, really want to bring them back, you can. We're going to talk about Marcus Smart here in a second. And I think some of what is going on there, at least in the Lakers, from the Lakers standpoint, kind of indicates to me which path they're taking. So let's go ahead and discuss that. Marcus Smart obviously went in today with a player option worth $5.1 million. He far exceeded that value last year by a lot. Not just in terms of, you know, the culture stuff that he helped with and defensively being like the only defensive minded guard that the Lakers had. He was fantastic. And I headed into this offseason really, really, really hoping that, he would be back with the Lakers again next year, which over the course of the summer so far, over the course of the last week, I have not gotten any good news on that front. It's been a lot of noise from everybody that I've spoken to that, like, he looks like he's going to Houston. And it's just gotten louder and louder and louder, and not in the way that, like, the LeBron thing is, like, there are several variables that need to take play or factors that need to swing a certain way for that situation to be, cemented. This is one of those, like, this is just team and player agree on number and length and we are done here. He is an unrestricted free agent. The Lakers don't have an opportunity to match unless he wants to give them the opportunity to max. The figure is out there. It's a really poorly kept secret that it's a very reasonable contract on Marcus Smart. And if the Lakers were to lose him at the number that appears to be kind of circling around out there, I'd be a little pissed. I have it secondhand, so I'm not going to say what the number is until I actually get it myself. But losing Marcus Smart just to free agency, after you said goodbye to Jordan Goodwin the year before to be able to sign Marcus Smart, it would be a pretty big blow to the Lakers in an offseason where they're trying to get better. Like you can't start an off season where you are trying to take a serious leap forward by immediately potentially losing three starters, essentially, or three key role players between LeBron potentially and Rui and Marcus Smart. Like if you lose all three of those guys, you take that big step back. That means you have to go that much further in your roster building to make the progress that you were hoping to make at the onset of the summer. So this would be a pretty brutal blow, and it appears that it's heading in that direction. One thing I'm looking, forward to is the eventual leaks that, we just never had a chance at Marcus because, he went to Oklahoma. Where did he go? He went to Marcus Smart. I think he went to Oklahoma State, right? Marcus Smart College. Yeah, he went to, Oklahoma State. And, he wanted to return to the area. We just didn't have a chance ever at retaining him. Turns out he's just too much of a Celtic at heart to continue on with the Lakers. He really, really, really wants to play with Ime Udoka. Like all of the cope that we're going to get on that front. Yeah, he is a Texas native. I thought so. All of the cope that we're going to get from the Lakers there after they lose a key figure in their roster and culture last year, and one of the few guys who plays defense and is also not a disaster offensively, this would suck and is going to suck. And when everybody finds out that number, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. I'm just, prepping you guys for that one. In good news, the Lakers did get an opt-in from DeAndre Ayton as he picked up his player option. It officially now, we always knew that he was probably going to. His player option is $8.1 million. There aren't very many teams around the league that trust him enough to pay him even that, let alone on a longer-term deal. So he continues on with the Lakers in a prove-it deal. One interesting thing that happened over the course of the day, I think this happened like right before we went live, Yusuf Nurkic got a new contract from Utah. And I thought that was really, really interesting in that they're already super costly, like a very expensive front court between Jaren Jackson Jr. and Lauri Markkanen, and then the deal that Walker Kessler might be getting. I thought for sure that Yusuf Nurkic would become available via free agency just for the sake in Utah's case of opening up some room to eventually be able to pay Keontae George and continue to fill out their roster as they continue to get more expensive. But no, they keep him they keep Nurkic on his deal. It's a 2-year, $22 million contract, which usually indicates that a guy's going to play, right? $11 million per usually indicate. And he was a big part of what they were doing last year. Remember, Kessler got hurt really early in the season. And, Nurkic became a really important part of Will Hardy's system there. And made a really solid case for himself to remain in Utah. And now they did that. So I initially, like when I thought Nurkic was going to go, I thought, well, if the Lakers do enter or continue the trade talks that they've been having with Utah, maybe DeAndre Ayton goes to Utah in that scenario so that they get some center minutes back for him as kind of insurance there. But Utah proactively signed their insurance here by keeping Nurkic, and it'll be interesting to see if they want more insurance, right? Like if a trade does go down, does Ayton still go back to Utah, seeing as Utah would be saying goodbye to their starting center, or have they now said maybe they're preparing themselves for an offer from the Lakers that they wouldn't be matching, and they went out and got the insurance on Kessler that they needed in the event that a trade didn't even take place. So, and the reason that I mentioned the Marcus Smart stuff earlier is, you know, the contract that that Smart is signing with Houston, or is likely signing with Houston, is very reasonable. And it tells me that the Lakers are, you know, really valuing their cap space, which means they're probably using that cap space, which, you know, would be kind of difficult for them to, breaking news from Shams, Kevin Huerter is going back to Detroit. All right. But with Smart signing a reasonable contract, likely somewhere else, a contract that the Lakers very easily could have swallowed. They, you know, it tells me that they are operating, you know, with cap space being their key asset here. And while their belief that some player would shake free to them by way of trade may not have played out the way that they wanted to, right? Like Lu Dort, his option was picked up by OKC, and OKC obviously already extended Isaiah Hartenstein. So like some of those players that the Lakers were hoping to land using that cap space and trade assets, maybe instead now they are planning on using that cap space on Kessler as step one of their offseason. And then it just becomes hoping that they offered enough to Kessler to make it so that Utah doesn't want to match that offer, and they lose him for nothing. So, you know, if that's how this plays out, right, and the Lakers have, you know, 50-ish million bucks in cap space, maybe you sign Kessler to like a $35, $37 million deal that leaves you $18 to $20 million in cap space beyond that. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Jonathan Kuminga was just, his option wasn't picked up by Atlanta. And we haven't seen anything about another deal that he and Atlanta agreed on, as part of that decision. So he just screams Rob Pelinka to me. And so maybe the Lakers use some of their cap space on him. You would then also have a mid-level exception that the Lakers would be able to utilize. Maybe you offer that to LeBron after you do everything else that you're looking to do to your roster, and say, this is all we can offer at this point. Let us know what you guys think between this or Golden State. Maybe you use some of that cap space on LeBron, to bring him back after you renounced him to sign Kessler. Maybe you use it on Rui, or maybe you continue to look across the, NBA landscape to try to find a deal using your assets, some of your expiring money, and some of that cap space to bring in, you know, some of these guys whose situations have changed because of some of the decisions made elsewhere throughout this offseason so far. But yeah, the Nurkic thing combined with the Ayton news made my ears perk up a little bit. It does. I've always thought Kessler was a bit of a long shot, but this was one of those rare days where I'm like, oh, maybe. Now, would landing Kessler be enough to make up for losing Marcus Smart and potentially losing LeBron James and losing Rui Hachimura? I don't know. All right. Let's see. The elsewhere in the NBA, you had frankly the biggest news of the day being Ja Morant being traded from the Memphis Grizzlies to the Portland Trail Blazers. The return on him was paltry. The Grizzlies took back Jeremy Grant's contract, as well as now they did get a young player, which Chris Murray, Keegan Murray's brother, I think they're twins. You know, from Memphis's standpoint, you know, that you have now completely moved on from the Bain, Brooks, Ja, Triple J, era. that is now over. You have turned the page now to, you know, the Edie, Kambuser, and whatever other young players that they are, you know, that Cedric Coward is another guy who I really like as part of their young core there. But yeah, like from this standpoint, you know, the first thing that jumped into my head when I saw that Jaw was traded to Portland was like, okay, they're small. Like, that is a really small team. And what I thought obvious next step for them would be that it would be some kind of a trade where you send out a couple of your guards, right? You still have Drew Holiday on your team. You still have Damian Lillard on your team. You still have Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe on your team as well. Now you also add Ja Morant to that group. And yeah, like Dame and Ja aren't exactly, you know, reliable heading into next season in terms of their injury concerns. So maybe you keep some of those guys or one of those guys as insurance, but that's a lot of guards to take up a roster and to take up that much of your cap. So a lot of people obviously jumped right to, well, a Drew for Jaylen Brown swap, you know, Drew and stuff for Jaylen Brown swap might make some sense. But Shams just came out and said a second ago that based on what he's hearing, Portland seems to be done. That doesn't make any sense to me. So I do kind of find myself wondering if, you know, maybe the Lakers send over that combination of Ayton, ironically, Ayton, Vando, and Dalton, if they send it to Portland to bring back Drew Holiday, who has next year on the books for $34 million, and he has a player option the year after that he's probably picking up. But you know, maybe that makes some sense for the Lakers, especially with them likely losing Marcus Smart. I really, really hope that JJ and Rob are aware of what they are losing in Marcus Smart, and you know, how desperately they need to fill his point of attack defense if the Lakers want to be a title contender next year. So yeah, it's a tricky situation there, you know, for the Lakers, obviously, here moving forward. But with Ja, the other thought that came to mind, and I'm sure I'm not alone here, but the other thought that came to mind was like, shit, things change fast in this NBA, right? We are just a few years removed from that group telling everybody how they are good in the West, right? And all of the swagger and confidence that group had before they had their souls ripped out of their chest by the Lakers, like, they looked like this team that was going to be a perennial contender for the next decade. And we shouldn't have taken that for granted. We can't take anything like that for granted any longer. And I think this is something that, you know, the Lakers have to be very aware of with Luka, in that, like, if things change so fast, and if you take for granted, you know, that you're going to have Luka and that you're going to have this competitive team for the next decade, that's how you get yourself into trouble. So I'm not saying that's what they're doing with Luka. I will say that's what they did with LeBron, and that era ended with, you know, kind of a wet firework. But in terms of, you know, the job ahead of them that Rob Pelinka has, you know, everybody is talking about how quickly things change in the NBA now. And, you know, superstars aren't going, like, we just saw Nikola Jokic, you know, in his camp make it known that he isn't interested in signing an extension. Now, some of that might just be maximizing his earnings. Some of that might also be him, like, looking at the owner after all of these reports, that he is not going to, you know, pay the luxury taxes. Jokic might be looking at their owner, Stan Kroenke, and being like, okay, you don't want to pay up, I'm not going to sign any kind of contract that doesn't make you freak out a little bit. So, with Luka, and we saw it with LeBron, and we saw it with Anthony Davis, like, this whole approach that the Lakers have taken, where they're perfectly fine kicking the can down the road and all that stuff, that's not going to fly any longer. And if they do lose LeBron to Golden State, and if they do, or when they do lose Marcus Smart, you know, they'd better make a real impact with the cap space that they kick the can to arrive with. And if they don't, you guys know I'm probably going to hop on here and have a few pointed words that need to be said. All right, let's go ahead and dive on into your guys' questions and comments. We do have a few super comments, which thank you guys a ton. That means we get to play the most important sound on the show. Fuck Washington! All right, the first one that I saw come in here came from Matthew the Sicilian, who writes, "Hey, podcast, Utah sure has a lot of centers. Windy fingers, yeah. I do think this is going to be a smart thing for people to speculate about until we get Walker Kessler's contract. And by the way, like, this is part of what I've been talking about where, you know, like there's all this reporting being done about how little contact the Lakers have had with LeBron. And that to me sounds like Rich Paul, like reminding them like, hey, like we're still over here. But what I believe is actually going on there is that the Lakers and Utah Jazz have been in like constant communication over the years, frankly, but especially this summer, about, hey, how do we arrive at some understanding with Walker this summer? And where, like, Nurkic's contract comes into play, and where the Lakers' decisions that they are or are not making so far come into play is, and like, you know, with that noise about LeBron not hearing from the Lakers very much, like what the Lakers are, who I think pretty clearly are doing here, is they are trying to get Kessler out of Utah. And until the moment that he is definitely staying in Utah, they are going to continue to focus on that. And then at the time that he does finally sign that deal and stays in Utah, then the Lakers would, you know, move on, and maybe there's still time on Jalen Duren. Maybe there's, you know, some other center that we aren't aware of, you know, that they would circle back to. Maybe they pick up those talks with Milwaukee about a Miles Turner trade. And then, you know, depending on which center it is that they walk away with and what price they have that center at, then they would, you know, talk to LeBron about the number that it would take to keep him in LA next year. Then if there's room, they would talk to Rui about what number he is looking for next year. I saw a report that he's looking for at least $20 million a year. Makes some sense, right? Made 18 last year and had a good enough season that you would think you get a raise off of it. But at the end of the day, your market is what somebody is willing to pay you. And then, you know, everything is just kind of that first domino that has to fall is whatever happens with Walker Kessler. And it's become, I think, abundantly clear that he is kind of the holdup for the Lakers offseason. And if they don't get him, right, if they offer him that near max salary, and if they and if Utah matches after the Lakers renounce those guys to even make that offer in the first place, then the Lakers are just completely screwed. And then it's time to start firing folks. But you're absolutely right, Matthew, that Utah has a whole bunch of centers and way too much money invested in that front court. And that front court is only going to get more expensive after Kessler's eventual deal. So we'll see how that one plays out. All right. The next question here comes from Let's Run UNLV. Seems like posturing for more money from AD and LeBron, but Golden State would still have way better talent and depth. Go player for player, and the Lakers have health concerns too, and LeBron could stick it to Jeannie and Rob. Yeah, I mean, like, look, the Lakers don't want him to go to Golden State. Like, this is not something that, like, you know, they, you know, saw the reports or they've heard the whispers too, and they've seen what Golden State is trying to do. Like, the Lakers, if there's a team that they would like to see LeBron not go to, it would be the one in their own division. And, like, you have the regional rivalry, right, that exists between the Lakers and Golden State because of the extension of fan bases between the Dodgers and Giants. Like, you have any number of reasons to point to that, like, the Lakers wouldn't like to see him go to Golden State. If he was going to leave, I think they would obviously prefer that he goes to Cleveland and you know, finishes out his career there in the Eastern Conference. And so, like, as such, now they're probably taking this a little bit more seriously, but I don't think it's, you know, something that they can't eventually work around. So, but, like, as far as, like, the posturing from LeBron and AD and Draymond here, all of those guys are clutch guys, right? You have Draymond Green, you know, who, you know, his is nearing the end of his career. I feel like every other week he's complaining about how little money NBA players get to keep because of taxes and, in his case, fines and suspensions. And so, like, he's trying to maximize his earnings here and the length of his next deal. Anthony Davis is somebody who whose market is extremely underwhelming from a trade perspective, because everybody knows that he wants a max contract despite the fact that he just never plays. So you have that going on here as well. Also, Anthony Davis just saw Trae Young get a huge deal, and he's probably sitting here saying, well, if you're giving out those deals, where's mine? And you know, I'm sure that, you know, those conversations probably haven't gone the way that they want. And one way to ensure that everybody hears about your contract dispute is by leaking that you could go to a media, like a large media market darling type team, in this case, the Golden State Warriors. So that might help Anthony Davis get a little bit of leverage here. And then from LeBron's standpoint, right, we've been talking about this all summer. You know, he wants to play on a winner. He wants to be in a city that is his family is comfortable in, and he wants to, you know, make an amount of money that it seems fair to him. And the only team still that I think checks all three of those boxes is still, I think, the Lakers. But he wants it known, hey, you know, I'm not going to be free. Like, I'm not going to sign for the biannual. I'm not going to, like, at the very, very least, my market starts at the mid-level exception, because that's what I would likely be getting from Golden State, from Cleveland, from whatever other team I could potentially go to in free agency. I guess I should also mention Andrew Wiggins opted into his contract earlier today, which does make it so that, you know, the Lakers could theoretically send LeBron, who signs, say, that, like, $25 million deal to Miami, and Miami saves, you know, the $5 million bucks that they would this year by taking on LeBron instead of Andrew Wiggins. That's a possibility here that I think is worth noting. He got extended, but he got extended to less than his contract is worth this year, which means that, at least to my understanding, that he can still be traded. It's the guys who get extended or resigned to anything more than, I think, like 10% of their previous contract that can't be traded until December. But yeah, like the you know, if you he didn't do that, guys, he signed, so he opted into his contract at the $30.4 million. Then he signed an extension for two additional years that totaled at $34 million, meaning it is average annual salary of $17 million, which is less than the $30.4 million that he opted into this year. So, like, based on my understanding, I think he is still trade eligible. And if so, then he is somebody who I think the Lakers would, you know, at least kick the tires on. The Lakers kicked the tires on him last year. They would probably have those conversations again. Obviously, Pat Riley is somebody who has deep roots in the Lakers organization. They talk often about a lot of stuff, and I'm sure Wiggins for LeBron will probably come up if LeBron signals an interest in going back to Miami to finish his career there. I don't know about the fit there between LeBron, Giannis, and Bam, but that's not normally how superstars think about the game. They kind of think of it as let's play with as many superstars as we can and figure the rest out later. Hence the unction that is going on in Golden State potentially. But yeah, that's a possibility. But as far as like, you know, leverage here, LeBron knew that he entered this offseason because of like the situation that he wants to play in next year. He knew he entered this offseason and these negotiations down leverage significantly compared to, you know, what his, you know, previous negotiations looked and felt like. And now it's just a matter of like trying to figure that out again and get that leverage back. And one way that you can get that leverage back is by threatening to go and play in one of the markets that your current team absolutely doesn't want to see you play for. So that might be what's going on here. Oh man, Germany and Paraguay are absolutely, they're tied up, 5 minutes of stoppage time left. That's exactly how Japan lost too. That was a brutal one. That was a toughie. All right, let's go to the next super comment that I saw down here, and we've gotten a few, so I think we'll just keep it coming. Let's run UNLV writes, like, just pay LeBron more. He's the second best player on your team right now. And if it was a way worse version of Kobe, they wouldn't think twice. That's the part of this that always like annoys me when I have conversations with people close to the Lakers, is like, would you guys treat Kobe like this? This guy has done obviously not as much for the franchise as Kobe did, but he did dig you guys out of a significant hole on the other side of the Jim Buss debacle. And you got, you know, won a championship with you guys and, you know, helped, you know, bring the Lakers back to relevance, and also, you know, fended off Father Time to the extent that he did. Like, maybe you should honor this dude a little bit more than it seems like you're getting ready to honor him here. But I don't think they necessarily see it that way. They you know, I think eventually he'll have his jersey retired. Maybe he'll get a statue, but I don't think the Lakers think of him as, at least based off of some of the conversations I've had. I think that their relationship with LeBron and with Clutch is complicated, is the word I would use for it. But yeah, I agree. I think he deserves to be honored and respected to a greater extent than I've heard that taking place so far this year. Let's see. The next question here comes from Matthew the Sicilian writes, hey, Anthony, be honest. What would your genuine reaction be if they traded for Anthony Davis and brought back LeBron at the mid-level? How do you think Luka would handle it? I'd be pretty pumped, honestly, because the center market is just not great at all. And, you know, as such, it's just... I mean, like, it's basically that the Lakers' best option right now is to say goodbye to talent in the hopes that they can make an offer that is such an overpay that Utah doesn't want to sign a critical part of their young core and actual team as they are getting ready to compete next year. Like, that makes me incredibly nervous. Unfortunately, Anthony Davis's contract sucks. His extension is also going to suck, and it wouldn't be a perfect situation, But if it, like, you know, it's basically the gamble that the Warriors are making. It's like, all right, if we get you Anthony Davis and we pay him, would you be more interested in playing with us at a number that we all understand is well below your market value? And yeah, let's see. Wow, Chris Haynes, breaking news. Due to a sizable distance apart in negotiations, Detroit Pistons restricted free agent Jalen Duren will meet with the Sacramento Kings at the start of free agency with the intentions of structuring a sign and trade out of Detroit. All right, I have lots of thoughts on this one. Matthew, I'll wrap this up. I would be intrigued by Anthony Davis. I would be real nervous about his injury history and the extension that he's eventually going to sign. But yeah. All right, let's talk about this Duren thing. This one is weird because unless Duren is expecting like the max, I don't see how they can possibly be that far apart in negotiations, especially when, you know, like the report from earlier was that Kessler had a $40 million deal waiting for him. It was a four-year, $140 million deal. But like, I feel like he would probably get roughly similar money. So I don't think we've seen a number that Detroit has really offered Duren. For the purposes of this show, though, like what I think is most interesting is that it's the Sacramento Kings that he is meeting with and not with the Lakers. you know, like if it's, you know, Duren is somebody who the Lakers tried to trade for a couple of years ago, and then he got better and he got better and got better. And then now, you know, as the Lakers are desperate for center talent, I would have figured if he was going to do the leverage thing that he would use the Lakers for that leverage thing, which we could take a couple of ways. Either Rob Pelinka is just doing a really poor job, or the other read on this situation is that the Lakers are close enough on Kessler or confident enough on Kessler that Duren doesn't feel like those conversations with the Lakers would be very productive. So that's an interesting one as far as, like, you know, what this could mean here for the Lakers. This happened while I've been on the air, so I'm going to have to ask around or whatever. But that is really, really interesting, you know, for a variety of reasons. And Duren, look, I think he played really poorly in the postseason. I think he probably cost himself a shit ton of money in that postseason, and he's trying to get that money back. But I also think he is strong as hell, a giant person, and somebody who I think would immediately help the Lakers. So not hearing, like, not seeing the Lakers listed here as the sign and trade possibility, that's an interesting one. I think we're going to learn a lot more about this, maybe as soon as I get off of the air. But that is really, really interesting that the Lakers aren't the team he's talking to right now. All right. The next question here comes from... I saw one. I know I saw it. I know it. There it is. Stu... LMB writes, Reeves said, me and Luca in his post-contract comments on his contract says what he thinks about LeBron's future in LA. Maybe. I think sometimes we kind of read a little too much into stuff like that. But what I will say is, like, from like what I think that meant is that he, you know, LeBron isn't going to be a Laker for the entirety of that future with the Lakers, and I think the focus is kind of him and Luka in that concept. But yeah, I would probably say that the you know, with the Luka Austin combo, like they hit the ground running in terms of like the caliber of basketball that they played together, but also like they just get along really well. And it doesn't really surprise me that, you know, Austin sees he and himself and Luka as like the future of the Lakers beyond the LeBron era. But that doesn't mean, I don't think, that the Lakers aren't bringing back LeBron or aren't bringing back or that like Austin doesn't consider LeBron a big part of their future. I Austin like greatly respects LeBron, as he has said several times on several shows. And that isn't that I don't feel any differently about that by way of this comment. Let's see. Is that all of them from a super comment? All right. I'm going to go ahead and pop out of here because I have a feeling we're going to get some breaking news that is more attached to this Jalen Duren thing that's happening right now. Hopefully we get a little bit of clarity on what the Lakers are getting ready to do. But yeah, it the summer isn't exactly off to a flying start right now, and it really needs to hit a U-turn to make me feel good about everything, how everything is going. So please hit that like button. Please hit that share button as well. Please subscribe to the channel as well. Use that promo code HMA on Prize Picks and get $50 worth of free picks on them. And yeah, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you when I talk to you.